Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and we are joined by Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern University Central DuPage Hospital, and happy Easter to you. Kevin, nice to hear your voice this morning.
Hello, Dean. Happy Easter to you.
Thank you. So, the talk this week regarding COVID-19, some places are seeing what they think might be peaks. Some places are still going up the curve. The talk is about the development about a vaccine. What's your take about where we are here in the Chicago area?
Yeah, you know, and it is. It's been an optimistic week for us, to be honest with you. You know, we look at this week and we thought we would have much higher numbers. And the numbers that you that the public are hearing about are different than the numbers that we're concerned about. Not that we're not concerned about the number of people who are testing positive, but we're more concerned about the number of people that are in the hospitals now and how many are taking up hospital beds, ICU beds, and ventilators. And we've been fairly stable this week, with about the same number of people being discharged, with the number of people coming in, and we've had very few expirations. So it was an encouraging week, but I tell everybody now, let's not be complacent. Let's ride this out a little bit longer. We can't just say we've turned the corner and let's loosen things up right now.
Yeah, you've heard the governor, you've heard some of the top medical officials saying that maybe the end of May is when things might get somewhat back to normal, maybe even later than that. The governor this week said that he wasn't sure if some of the major events in Chicago this year were going to be able to happen, things that happen in July, August, September, much later into the year. What's your take on, if things are getting better with big group activities like that? Is it prudent to hold off on those kinds of things?
Dean, I think it is going to be prudent to hold off on the big, like the Lollapalooza kind of issues, where you have a large group where you really can't control how close they are and do social distancing when you have a large group like that. We don't want to see a second bump. We know that the illness is going to be with us through the summer. We just want to make sure that we spread this out and don't have this second surge because we got complacent and said, okay, let's have these large gatherings. You know, I think as we start to loosen things up, you'll see restaurants will open and you're going to go in and say, wow, this is a lot different than it used to be. You know, there's going to be room between tables. I think you'll start to see some of the parks open up, but with a lot of signage as far as to keep your distancing and not congregate. We're going to need to get outside more often just because the weather is going to start to turn. And just for our sanity alone, I think we're going to need to have some outdoor exposure.
Yeah, boy, it sure makes a difference. I mean, we've had a couple of really nice days this week weather-wise. And, just to be able to go outside and breathe some fresh air, I'm sure if you took my blood pressure, and just everything would have dropped those days. It just felt like, wow, some relief from the anxiety of being inside, the anxiety of watching the news, the anxiety of everything that's going on, and to just see some sunshine outside and, to breathe some fresh air.
You hit it right on the head. And one of the biggest things is the anxiety from the 24/7 news that we're watching. So yeah, taking a break from that. And I don't know if you noticed it, Dean. I was on a walk yesterday. Are people more polite now? Are people like saying good morning, saying good afternoon? We're certainly social distancing. We're spreading out as we pass each other. But there seems to be this sense of, hey, we're in this together. And people seem to be kinder. Even in the grocery stores, they seem to be kinder. Yeah. Now, I know you had an unusual grocery store experience, but I think that we're starting to see people understand that we're all in this together. And it's something that we all need to fight together.
Yeah, this was somebody who took something out of my shopping cart. But I have to say, over the that was early in this one. I think, you know, people were a little bit panicking at that point. I have noticed, especially this past weekend when I was out shopping, that people are more courteous and helpful and you know, just nicer to each other. You know, I hope that that's a positive side effect of you know, of all of this. Is there something people can do to just, you know, relax if people are full of anxiety and tension? I've heard people saying, you know, yoga and meditation and things like that. I mean, does you know, I know exercise probably helps. A little light exercise is probably good, right?
Absolutely. You know, and the yoga and the Pilates, you know, there's two things about that. One, it is kind of a mindful exercise, as well as a strengthening, as well as a stretching. So all really good things. And you can pretty much do it at home if you want. So you can, you don't need to go to a class for this. You don't need to have an instructor. There's plenty of tapes on it. And you can do it, and you can learn how to do it properly in your own home. That being said, getting outside and getting some exercise, whether you're riding a bike or going for a jog or just going for a good walk, certainly helps your immune system. The sun is out right now, gets you more vitamin D, allows your heart to work a little bit, gets your heart rate up. All the things that we've unfortunately been missing here these past couple of weeks. And the big thing is the individual who used to rely on that health club for their exercise and now the past few weeks haven't done anything.
Some questions. If you'd like to call in to ask Dr. Most a question, 312-981-7200. If you want to text in, that's fine, too. 312-981-7200. The 815 area code is asking, is it safe to kiss someone right now?
Well, the only person I would be kissing right now is whoever you are quarantined with. That's going to be about the extent of it. So the social isolation that you're doing in your own home, yes, that's fine. Anything outside of that, no, because all you've done now is just expand that potential asymptomatic carrier to a doubling effect right there. So individuals that are in your home, absolutely. That's why you're going to be quarantined with them, so that if you do get the illness, you're all going to be there together.
How safe do people need to be together who are quarantining?
Yeah, you know, if you're quarantined, if we look at it, if someone has the illness and you're within distance of them for 30 minutes, the chance of you getting it is fairly high. We used to think that it was the capability of this to spread was much lower than what we're finding out right now. So the individuals in the home, if you're going to spread it, you probably have already spread it just because of the distancing that you're doing in your house. And you can't keep all the countertops clean all the time. But that being said, you know, if you have somebody vulnerable in your home, certainly they should be totally isolated in their own room and only come out when they need to be honest with you, because you're still going to be protecting, trying to protect that vulnerable individual.
Yeah, and, you know, if you go to the, I know when I go to the grocery store, when I come in, I probably still have mask and gloves on from being at the store, shed all of that, get rid of the outer layers that I was wearing, and, you know, so I am not bringing anything into the house at all. That seems like that makes sense if you're trying to protect others who are in the house as well, right?
Absolutely. And also it decreases your anxiety. It makes you think, hey, I've done one thing more to protect my family. I think the grocery stores are being very good about having Lysol wipes to wash carts. And I think everybody will be as cautious as they can with anything that they're purchasing. So the big thing there is lowers your anxiety and decreases the chance of spread.
847 area code. Can you ask Dr. Most if it's okay to reuse a paper mask if I don't touch it, except for the strings around my ears, and then hang it up for 24 hours?
100%. We're using a lot of masks over and over again. Now, the paper mask that you're wearing, you have to realize that that is not protecting you so much as it is protecting you from others. In other words, if you're an asymptomatic carrier, that's why we're all wearing masks right now, to protect if I possibly would have this, I'm going to protect everyone else from getting it. The N95 mask is the one that protects the individual. The mask that you're wearing protects the crowd. So absolutely, you know, we reuse those now all the time. And again, it's to protect you. If you hang it up for 24 hours, that's great. But to be honest with you, you can wear it because anything on the inside of that is something that's already come from your body. So you don't have to worry about that.
There's another mask question from 630. Are the cloth masks and bandanas that everybody is wearing now safer or less safe than the paper masks, which are people are using?
Correct. Well, the paper masks we know are made for medical grade. In other words, we know that there's no toxins or anything that we're going to be breathing in through those. We know that they have been tested and we know that they're safe. The cloth masks are very difficult because people are making them out of everything possible, whether it be polyester, whether it be cotton, whether it be something that may even have paint on it. So really difficult to answer that question without knowing what the material actually is and what you're inhaling. I would say if you're wearing one and you're inhaling it and you smell a fume, it's probably not a good idea. And try to get to one where there's really at least no smell for anything that you might be inhaling off of that homemade mask.
Let's get a question in from Mary, who is in Wilmette. Mary, hi, good morning. You're on WGN.
Hi. The landscapers came around to clean up from the debris from last fall. And I wonder if that's a good idea to let them do that or come back when things are a little calmer. I was thinking about leaves and just the debris that's in your yard.
You mean because they're putting things into the air?
They might be putting compost down or...
Yeah, Mary, from a coronavirus point of view, that really shouldn't be a concern at all. The virus won't live on that for very long, and also someone would have to cough on that just to even get the virus on there. And it's not like you then are going to go down and touch that and touch your face. So as long as the landscapers are keeping their distance from you, there should be no problem from the coronavirus point of view.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Just a news story that is going to be heard today. I'm just getting a bulletin on my phone regarding a church in Kentucky that was packed for Easter services today. I'm sure you're going to see it on the news later. What's your take on people who insist on still gathering in large groups? I mean, people have profound feelings about that. I get it. But from a coronavirus standpoint, it's dangerous, isn't it?
Dean, it's beyond dangerous. It's irresponsible and reckless. The individual who goes to that service may be a young, healthy individual, and they could get coronavirus and be just fine. But if they spread it to a vulnerable person, and that's exactly why we're trying to stop this, then what they've done is potentially cause somebody to have severe illness, harm, and death. So totally reckless, totally irresponsible. There's other ways that you can worship. There's been Zoom masses. There's been other ways that you can worship. And I think that spreading this illness because you feel like you have to go to church is so wrong in so many different ways.
Yeah, I've heard Cardinal Supich and others who lead their particular denominations saying that it's perfectly fine to worship by yourself. That being a faithful person doesn't mean getting everybody in the congregation sick. That's not the point of what religion is supposed to be. So, I would say, if you want to ask yourself that question from a theological standpoint, listen to Cardinal Supich and some of the others. If you're not going to listen to the doctors and the people of science, who can tell you what their opinions are. Another texter, Kevin, is asking about they were supposed to take, they had a shingles vaccine the beginning of April, and a second dose was supposed to have been done. Is it safe to go back and get that second dose of a shingles vaccine right now?
Yes. If you're asymptomatic, then I would definitely get back in to get that second dose. If you have an illness, then I definitely would say stop, don't do that and get that second dose later. But if you're asymptomatic, I would definitely go in because you want that protection from that shingles. And that vaccine is so important right now. So that if you have not had any exposures, you've been quarantining at home, and you're due for your second shingles, go in and get it, because you don't want to miss the opportunity to prevent that illness, because shingles on top of COVID would not be a good scene at all.
Yeah, isn't a shingles vaccine something you can get done at a pharmacy also? I mean, I can understand somebody thinking, well, I don't want to go to my doctor's office where there are a lot of sick people. I don't want to go to a hospital. But if you go to a pharmacy, normally they have a little private area where you can get things like that done. And I'm sure they're taking every precaution to protect both the people administering the vaccine. And hopefully you are also taking the correct procedures with masks and gloves and so forth before you would go there.
Absolutely. You're probably seeing close to 70% or that higher of the shingles vaccine being done in pharmacies now. And that they are... Pharmacists are highly trained professionals. They will be donned and appropriately to give you that vaccine. They will follow all the aseptic techniques. They will clean that area before. So you should be rest assured that you're going to be safe in that environment. And to be honest with you, they probably do more vaccines than some offices do. So you are getting the right care, and it's being documented at the appropriate time as well.
This is Debbie in Prospect Heights. Hi, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
You too. Thank you.
I have a grandma question. We are a healthy grandma and grandpa and have two households. One has three grandchildren. The other two all have been isolated like 3.5-4 weeks. Is there any way going and seeing them would be okay?
Debbie, I hate to say it, but no. my neighbors next door to me had their kids over or had their grandkids over, and they made sure that they stayed a great distance from them, but they still had their Easter egg on. If you're going to do that, that's fine, but I would certainly not do an Easter dinner with them. You could still be in the household, even though it's been a couple of weeks. They still have had some exposure because someone's going to the grocery store, someone's going to get gas in the car. So I would say better be safe than sorry. Now, if you want to see them, because today the weather is quite nice, you want to see them from across the way and that, you need that visual connection, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have a meal with them, and I try to stay at least 8 to 10 feet away from them.
Well,
which is
my
difficult
husband
because
is,
those little grandkids want to hug you.
Well, it's hard. And my husband is grinning now because he's been telling me this for the past few days. So thank you for confirming.
Don't you know, Debbie, don't you know that
this is the first time he's been right in a long time?
See, I was going to stick up for him. I was going to say, Debbie, don't you know husbands are always right? Listen to that logical Dr. Most.
you just made his day. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just better to be careful right now, Debbie. Hopefully it won't be too much longer.
I know. Thank you. Have a good day.
Happy Easter to you. Good luck with all that. That's what's so difficult. Kevin, I'm sure that you've also been hearing all these stories of people who have loved ones in nursing homes, in hospitals, who are not able to have any contact with them. Is there any regulation about that? Is there any... What are the recourses that people have who have loved ones in nursing homes or in hospitals to either have contact with them or to be kept up to date on their condition and whether or not the facility has had any instances of people testing positive, just so people so family members can understand what's going on in the facility that they are not able to personally visit?
Yep. So, Dean, you asked a couple of really good questions in there. One, this is a mandate by the Illinois Department of Public Health to stop the visitors in these areas where there's a vulnerable population, whether it be hospital or nursing homes. As far as up to date, I can tell you that at Central DuPage, the expectation for our doctors is that a family member will be contacted every day to give an update on any patient that's in the hospital. And often it's more than once, and it's more than one doctor, because they miss that. The difficult part is the social isolation of the patient and the connections that the nurses are making with these individuals. They want to talk to somebody. So we're making every opportunity we can with iPads to do Skype visits, to do Zoom visits with their families. I'm sure that'll be very popular today. But we really want to make sure that we're not bringing anything into the healthcare facilities now, whether it be a nursing home or a hospital, that could spread the illness. So we're very, very cautious right now. We're trying to help you ride this storm out as well. All we need is it to go through a nursing home, and we'll have a scene similar to what we have in Seattle. And we have had some initial cases in nursing homes, but fortunately the administration at these nursing homes have worked quickly to isolate those patients and minimize the spread.
Is it within a family member's right to ask, how many people have tested positive? Is my family member near that person? What kind of precautions are you taking to protect my family member? Because I've heard stories of people saying that they were shut down, saying because of privacy, we can't tell you anything.
Yeah, you know, that's that fine line of privacy when it gets down to the individual, talking about an individual patient where we have what we call HIPAA violations. I think some institutions are trying to be protective as far as their staff as well as the individuals. But I can tell you every single hospital now has multiple COVID cases in every hospital. Nursing homes, hopefully not as many cases, but I'm sure they do. One thing we really are being very, very careful about is making sure that an individual who's near the end of life still has an opportunity to see their family and their family gets to see them. So that's the one time that we're allowing visitors because it's such an emotional time and we're very protective of them. We make sure that the individuals that's coming to see that patient is fully gowned and gloved and masked. So we're very in tune to it. The information coming out, I can see how some will be somewhat restrictive of it.
That was the case with my brother, who passed away this past week, where I had not been able, since COVID-19 started, who was in a nursing home and in a hospital with pneumonia before that, both while he was in the hospital and back in the nursing home, until he was deemed end of life, I wasn't able to see him. But once the determination was made that he was near the end of his life, they did gown me up, completely. I was joking with him when I walked in the room. I said, "Can you even recognize me under it's me? Can you see me under all yep. of this?" Because they had me so gowned up. But that's why I'm so surprised to hear some of these stories on the news of people who have their relatives pass away who were not given that same courtesy of seeing their loved ones who they know are end of life, are near end of life. How did they not get in? How did they not be able to say goodbye to their loved ones?
Yeah, I can tell you we've had patients where we thought they were going to be quite stable and then unfortunately made a dramatic or drastic change. And that's the bad thing about this illness is there's a subset of people that appear to be getting better and then all of a sudden have what we call a large inflammatory response and they turn dramatically quickly. I mean, unbelievably quickly.
Yeah. So
some of those are unfortunate. It's that social isolation that's very difficult. And then also the communication. But hopefully everyone who has a loved one in a hospital is getting a call from a doctor and getting their questions answered and also being given an opportunity to either Skype or FaceTime or Zoom with their loved one in the hospital.
Yeah, I know that's not the case with nursing homes, and I know that they're working, these poor people who are, caring for our loved ones in there. They have never had a more challenging schedule. I know it's difficult. I know staffs are short, but I wish that were happening for everyone who had loved ones in nursing homes as well right now. Kevin, always great to talk to you. Always appreciate the information. I hope you're well. I hope you have a wonderful Easter with your family, if you're able to see anybody today at a safe distance. It's always good to chat with you. Thank you.
And Dean, sorry for your loss. I know we touched base earlier this week, but just wanted to verbalize it to you as well.
I appreciate it. And all your help and advice and counsel with that, Kevin. Thank you so much. Yeah. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern University Central DuPage Hospital.